Jesus was at a wedding, and on the third day of the wedding feast, Jesus' mother came to Jesus and said, "There is no more wine." And Jesus said, "Why do you bother me with this? My time has not yet come." But his mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you to do." Nearby stood 6 stone water jars, the kind that were used by the Jews for ceremonial washing. They held each of them between 20 and 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw out some water, take it to the master of the banquet." And they did so. And when the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned now into wine, he did not realize where it had come from. But the servants who drawn the water knew. He called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best wine until now." This was the first of his miraculous signs that Jesus performed, and it was here at Cana in Galilee. And through this, he revealed his glory, and his disciples who were with him and who he had previously called to him began to have faith in him and put their faith in him. Let us pray. Holy God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you in this time. May you be made known to us. Amen. In Homer's classic, The Odyssey, Ulysses, as he's known in the Roman version of the story, or Odysseus, is in the Trojan War, a war that is 10 years long. And after a 10-year-long war, he, of course, wanted to go home to his home, back to Ithaca, his island. Back to Penelope and his wife and his son. But it's a 10-year journey back. 10 years. And as this great tale unfolds, he encounters sirens, lotus eaters, a cyclops. Finally, making it back home, his family had wrote him off, thought that he had died in the war. He comes back, and you can imagine the relief. And as our Western tales would tell it, or a movie version of this, a Disney version of this, would end here, happily ever after, right? But actually, Homer writes that he must engage in another journey. Another journey. The last 2 chapters barely remember that he took off on a second journey, that he must go from his island to the mainland, and that he was fated to do so. It was prophesied that he would have to do this, could not escape it. He would have to journey again. There's a journey out there that awaits us all. Those of us that are daring and bold enough and have enough courage and strength and stamina to step out in faith. It is a well-kept secret. Why is it a well-kept secret? Well, because most of the time in life, we go about preparing ourselves to survive, building a container that can survive the storm of life, that so-called first journey of life. As Richard Rohr talks about, the Franciscan Catholic, there's 2 halves of life, he says, and most of us, 90%, maybe more, focus on that first half of life. And once we have made it to that point, we have a good job, a family, a house, we have stability, we kind of write off the second one. Maybe we don't even know that there is a second half to life. Maybe that is why so many people have this midlife crisis about, now what do I do? Once that I have, quote, made it in life, now that I am where I have wanted to be, went through the schooling, done, jump through the hoops that they have you jump through. Once I've made it, now what? Now what do I do? And many people never go on that second journey. It's a shame. There's few that tell us about it. There's a few that would guide us. They're out there if we look for it. Will we journey in that second journey of life? Will we trek out again? Institutions in life, schooling, jobs, family, even our churches are stuck in this model of preparing ourselves to just survive in life, to just be able to get by, to maybe even be prosperous in the prosperous ways of the world, but without getting to that second level, that deeper level, the level of spiritual depth and understanding and wisdom that we all seek, if we know it or not, that hollow place in our hearts. Even our churches are stuck in this mindset of just surviving, just getting people to come or to give enough or to do enough or to be good enough to make sure that we have our moral list of check marks, that we make it into heaven. We are clumsy stewards of our own souls at times. And that's a shame. This, right here, the church, this gathering, this body of people, can be a place where we prepare ourselves for that second journey, to not just survive that second journey, because there will be some bumpiness on that road, health and well-being, but to thrive even. We're not so much commanded to go on that second journey. We could pretend as if we could sit back and be comfortable. But it's more like an invitation. It's more like we are invited on this journey, this deeper journey. Things are going to happen that we will need some wisdom and some understanding. And that second journey gives us those things. We are to be, as our mission statement says, a place where all people can grow in faith. All people to grow in faith. Something that lends itself to the second portion of life. Perhaps we should be pushing people a little bit. Perhaps we should make people just a little bit uncomfortable in our comfortableness into that place that we have made it to. Our homes are not just meant to be lived in, but also to journey from. Home is not just a comforting and sentimental place, but a place to be sent out of. This place, this church, can be a place where we are sent out every week, where we come, gather, learn, strengthen ourselves, and then are sent that second journey. Thomas Merton says that many of us spend our lives climbing the ladder of success only to find out that we propped it up against the wrong wall or the wrong building. Where are we going? Where do our ladders lead to? Where is our journey taking us? To deeper, more meaningful things, more meaningful understandings, Is it lending us? Is it leading us to a place where we can thrive? Not just survive. When Jesus turned the water into wine, he could have just watered down the wine, made it last a little bit longer. Maybe that's what they used to do. They used to just, well, we'll add some water to the wine so that it'll stretch out. They won't know the difference. They don't expect any different. They're used to coming to a wedding where the good stuff is first and then gets watered down by the end. The end of the holiday season can mean a time of a little bit of depression, putting away the Christmas decorations. Christmas music is off the radio. Back to the real life. And it starts now this week, this first week in January, this past week. Maybe didn't count so much, right? The kids were hardly in school. It was cold outside. Why not just wait, hold back a little bit longer on this new year? But we can't avoid it anymore. Tomorrow's the 8th. It's past the 12 days of Christmas. We have to go out. We have to be on that journey, that second journey. It's what we were meant to do. Are we set up to thrive? Are we set up for abundant life? Or just set up to just scratch by? No. Jesus would have us live abundantly. The first miracle, such a wonderful metaphor for the abundance of life. The best is yet to come. The best is yet to come in your life in 2018. Do you believe it? Do you feel it? Maybe, maybe not. There's a lot of questions in your life. There's a lot of questions in this building about this organization, about this church. Do we believe that the best is yet to come for us as a congregation here at First Church, here at 248 Harding Way? Do we believe that? Do we feel it? If not, ask God for that. Ask God for that wine, that rich, abundant wine, the ones that taste even better than it did on the 24th of December. It can't be like that for us if we have the faith to see where God is acting in our lives. And God is acting here in this community. Abundant life. We're going to be talking about abundant life in this lavish spiritual lifestyle all month. All month. We're going to talk about stories where Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. Wonderful story where Jesus gives a woman water that will never make her thirst again. Next week, we have a story where Nicodemus comes to Jesus hungry, a spiritual leader in the community, and he is given the message that he must be born from above. Life again, life anew. Life in 2018. Life no matter how old we are, whether we're 29, like Lynn and I, 49, 69, life again, life abundant. The best is yet to come, friends. Let us celebrate over the table.